It wasn't as if I'd expected her dad to welcome me into their life after one dinner, but I also didn't expect him to be such a prick. Lake didn't see it. Not yet. She'd been embarrassed, ashamed, and tried to take the fall for Tiffany. My sister had been like that, thinking she could help an argument by interfering when she should have just kept out of it. You don't stick your hand in a dogfight. I'd told her before, but a lot of good that had done. I could tell by the way Lake looked at her dad, she still loved and respected him. I didn't understand that. Family shouldn't mean an automatic free pass to treat others like shit. At some point, you had to recognize people for what they were. Charles stayed in his study. As the clock behind my head ticked on, Tiffany seemed to become more agitated. It was as if she wanted something, was waiting for something. I wanted something, too. A cigarette. I'd eaten a little too much, thankful for real, flavorful food. Between school and work, I didn't care about learning to cook. I just made what I could. Unlike Lake, Tiffany knew her dad was an asshole. But I'd met plenty of girls who'd willingly tethered themselves to jerks. Maybe it was worse for Tiffany because it was her dad. I didn't have a good track record with dads. Hell, I hated my own. I thought I saw some of that in Tiffany's eyes tonight, but she'd also watched him a lot of the meal, more than anyone else. Lake only ate half her slice. She hadn't finished her dinner either while I'd cleaned up a salad, two steaks, and dessert. Was she upset or just not hungry? As it was, I worried she was a little too thin. Then again, maybe it was a girl thing. Maddie'd rather have read or explored than come to the dinner table. Or bead. I'd forgotten about her jewelry phase until it had hit me that day on the wall when I'd fixed Lake's bracelet. Maddie'd stayed in her room for hours beading stuff like necklaces and anklets. I didn't even know where those were. At my mom's, maybe. "Thanks again for dinner," I said because they were looking at me. "I've never had better pie." Kathy smiled. "The crust was a little soggy, but it was a good first effort." Tiffany shrugged. "I didn't think it was soggy at all." Kathy covered Tiffany's hand on the table. "I've been trying to tell Tiffany the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's why we're teaching her to cook." I was more uncomfortable now than I'd been with their dad at the table. At least then I'd known where I stood. Now all eyes were on me. Why had I come here? Partly to see how Lake and Tiffany fit into this family. I figured the dynamic would help me understand them. Neither Lake nor her sister wanted for anything. I knew the property value of their home, the prestige of their neighborhood. They had a bar and expensive wine and special dishes. I suspected those things were important to Tiffany, but what about Lake? I wasn't in the habit of wondering these things about anyone. I went about my life and did what was necessary to put food in my own stomach and a roof over my head. I didn't need much, not even to be happy or loved. Everyone I knew was killing himself somehow. Drugs, alcohol, work, shitty relationships, boredom. They pretended things mattered that didn't. They stopped asking questions because they didn't like the answers. I'd seen too much and lost the goodness in my life young enough to understand nothing was fair. There were no guarantees. Lake didn't know that yet, and I wanted her to keep that innocence as long as possible. Maddie? I could have protected her better. I did my best as her older brother, but if I'd known what was to come for her, I would have done more. I would have done whatever it took. And I wanted to do the same for Lake, except that men in their 20s didn't just hang around teenage girls they weren't related to. And that left me with only two options, one of which was to walk away. The other was sitting across the table from me, smiling like she had me trapped in a corner.
"Let's get the dishes," Kathy said to Lake. "Give these two some privacy."
I didn't know what in the hell went through Lake's mind. Her eyes got huge and sad. At that moment, despite the makeup I was sure she'd stolen from Tiffany, Lake was a kid at the grown-up table. She reminded me of Maddie. Not physically, they were complete opposites, light and dark. But she looked up at me the same trusting way Maddie had, like I could tell her anything and she'd believe it.
"Are you guys going out?"
Lake asked.
"It's not your business," Tiffany said. "Mom told you to clear the table."
I stood.
"I'll help."
Kathy put her hand on my shoulder.
"Absolutely not. Please sit."
"I really should take off," I said.
"Maybe you can walk me out, Tiff." "Sure."
She got up, exchanging a look with her mom. I took that moment to check on Lake. She wanted to come outside, I could tell, but Tiffany wouldn't invite her, and I sure as hell wouldn't either. Best she stayed away after the fight I'd just witnessed.
I nodded goodnight, hoping she'd understand in her own way. Damn if the hurt in her expression didn't ease up. Tiffany looped her arm in mine and walked me out front.
"Was it awful?"
she asked. "You were so good to put up with my dad."
"It was all right. Don't worry. My mom likes you a lot, I can tell. Plus, I'm sure she loved that you had a second helping and complimented her cooking."
I stopped listening. The food and a 10-hour workday and 2 glasses of wine hit me all at once. I just wanted to lie down. There was a small grassy hill down to the curb, and when we reached the bottom, I cut her off. "Thanks for inviting me."
"I'm glad you came."
Before I could reach for the handle, she leaned back against the driver's side door.
"You want to do something?"
"I worked all day, Tiffany. I'm exhausted."
"We don't have to go out. We can stay in."
"Where?" I nodded behind me. "Here? At your parents'?" She wiggled her foot out of her shoe and ran her toes along the inside of my ankle.
"No, silly. We can drive around a little. Or go back to your place."
"Ah, fuck." I inhaled deeply to give myself a few seconds to think. I was tired, but the prospect of sex always gave me a second wind. It had been a few months, which didn't bother me until it did. Like now. She tugged on my shirt a little, pulling me closer. Her breath smelled like blueberry, like the ones Lake had used to make a pie. For someone special. For me.
"Your heart's racing,"
Tiffany whispered, her lips suddenly near my chin. I felt like I was doing something wrong, and not in a good way. I didn't want to be thinking about Lake when I was this close to her sister. I took a step back from her.
"What's wrong?"
Tiffany asked.
"Nothing."
She was quiet a moment.
"I want this, Manning."
"It's not that."
"I'm not a virgin. If you're worried I'll get attached, it's not that,"
I repeated.
"I'm on birth control."
My heartbeat hadn't calmed any, and that comment didn't help. It just reminded me of the terrifying conversation inside about the girl who got pregnant.
"Who's Regina Lee?" "A girl at my high school who had sex with a teacher. All the parents got worked up, but he was only like 24 or something."
"How old was she?"
17. Regina says she'll wait for him to get out."
The way Charles had threatened to throw his power around scared me. Who knew if it was true what he'd said about bringing more charges against the teacher? But a man like that definitely had connections, and it was clear he didn't want me anywhere near Lake. He'd been angry enough that I hadn't mentioned my work next door, but it was Lake being over there, me being around her, that had really set him off. I hoped we'd be done with this house soon and get out of his proximity. Anything in the neighborhood went wrong, and he'd surely find one of us to blame. Tiffany cocked a hip.
"So is that the problem?"
she asked.
"You're worried I'll get pregnant like Regina Lee?"
"No."
"What then? Not pretty enough? Too fat?"
"Nobody in the Kaplan family could be considered fat." "Definitely not."
"You already told me you don't have a girlfriend. Were you lying?"
She asked it casually, as if it were nothing to lie about that. I urged myself to say yes. It'd be easier to be a cheater than admit I felt protective enough of Lake that I wasn't ready to say goodbye to Tiffany yet. Then I could wash my hands of this and drive off. Tiffany would go inside and tell her dad. He'd be thrilled. And Lake would think I'd lied to her. "I don't have a girlfriend," I said. Tiffany pushed off the truck.
"Then you must be, like, gay or mentally unstable. I'm here offering you sex. If you're not just going to come out and tell me why you don't want it, then bye. Don't call me again."
She turned and walked up the grass. I couldn't breathe. It was an unwelcome and unfamiliar feeling. I didn't let shit like this get to me. Where girls were concerned, I'd generally not found them worth the trouble. But as Tiffany got farther away, so did Lake. I wouldn't be invited back. How would that look, a grown man trying to hang around her? If I saw it, I'd put a stop to it. Without Tiffany, there was no Lake, no monster sandwiches, no blueberry pie. But what had I done to deserve that sweetness in my life? Nothing. And who's to say I wouldn't spoil it? I might. So probably I should just walk away. But it wasn't just Lake I'd been watching tonight. Tiffany was right when she'd said she was a disappointment to her dad. He put her in a box, then got mad she was in it. Not that Tiffany didn't provoke him. She did. But she was just looking for someone to pay attention to her. "Wait." Tiffany turned around.
"What?"
"It's none of that," I said. "I'm just old-fashioned."
"What do you mean?" I climbed the grassy incline until I stood in front of her. I took her shoulders as if bracing us both. Maybe I didn't deserve sweetness, but Tiffany, yes. She was a decent match for me. She could use someone on her side, and she came with Lake. I leaned in and kissed Tiffany on the lips. "It means I like to take things slow," I said. "I'm old-fashioned." Tiffany blinked up at me.
"Well, that's a first."
"Yeah, it was. I gotta go, but I'll call you." She nodded at the ground. For a minute, I wondered if she even wanted me to.
"Okay,"
she said.
"Good night."
She turned and went back inside. I would have expected any girl to swoon after that. Maybe Tiffany wasn't fast because she was desperate to be loved. Maybe she was fast because she liked it that way. She might actually leave me in the dust if I didn't make my move. I could lose my chance with her. I wasn't entirely sure if I wanted to fight to hold on to Tiffany. But I did know that was the only way to remain a part of Lake's life.
Chapter 11. Lake. I didn't move away from the window until the front door slammed and Tiffany pounded up the staircase. I couldn't be sure what I'd seen. If Manning had kissed her just now on the front lawn, it had looked innocent enough. A peck on the lips. What did that mean? There was no connection between them. I knew that. But did Tiffany? I went into our adjoining bathroom and made some noise, hoping Tiffany would invite me into her room. When she didn't, I knocked. "What?" Tiffany asked. "Can I come in?" "What do you want?" I opened the door. Tiffany sat on her bed with her address book open and the receiver of her see-through touch-tone phone in her hand. "I'm trying to find something to do tonight." "I thought you were going out with Manning." "Does it look like I am?" "What happened?" At this point, the conversation could go two ways. Either she'd kick me out and accuse me of being nosy, or she'd spill her guts. I was hoping for the guts. Did Manning ask her the kinds of questions he asked me? About music, books, fancy dishware? I couldn't picture them talking about those things. When I had Manning's attention, there was no room for anyone else. The dial tone began to beep. With a sigh, Tiffany hung up the phone and flopped backward onto the bed. "He wanted to hang out. We almost went back to his place, but he has to work early." My face warmed. What I wouldn't give to see where he lived, what kinds of things he thought important enough to put on his shelves. What color were his sheets? What other books were on his shelves? Did he put photos on his nightstand? If Tiffany went there, she'd get to see all that before me. I walked a little more into the room. "Are you going to see him again?" She reached up and flicked the corner of her Nirvana poster. "I don't know." I stood taller. I wasn't surprised. I knew it was coming. I'd always assumed the two other guys Tiffany had brought home to dinner had broken up with her right after, but maybe it was the other way around. "Really?" I asked. "Don't get me wrong. Manning's super hot, and he's nice to me. But he's like an old man. He works and has classes and goes to bed early and takes things slow." She yawned, turning her head to me. "I thought college guys would be different, you know. Fun and cool." I nodded as if I understood. In reality, Manning was the coolest person I knew because he didn't care one bit about being cool. "So you're going to dump him?" I asked, trying not to sound hopeful. "No. If I don't want to see him anymore, I just won't pick up his calls." She sat up and fixed her hair in the reflection of her mirrored closet. "You saw Corbin today?" I was still wondering what it'd be like to have Manning call me in the first place. "Who?" "Corbin! Hello? Hottest guy in your school? You saw him at the beach?" I blinked a few times. Had that only been this morning?
Yeah. How'd you know?"
"I talked to him."
"When?"
"On the phone."
"He called?" I asked.
"Yep, while I was changing. I told him to call back because we were about to have dinner."
"Did he ask for me?"
"Why?" she asked. "Do you like him?"
"No."
It came out defensively, a reflex more than an answer. I'd spent the last couple years wanting nothing to do with the boys at my school. Now that I knew Manning, who wasn't anything like them, I was even less interested. But Corbin seemed different, too, like he was listening when I spoke instead of trying to see down my top. I mean, I do like him, I said, but just as a friend. You?
Do I like Corbin? He's only 17. Way too young for me.
She flipped through her address book. And it's not really sexy when a guy likes you too much. That's basically why I could never date someone like Corbin. I thought you said he had a small crush on you a while back.
He did, but who knows if it was more. I just think it's weird that he's suddenly interested in you.
I had no idea what to say to that. Corbin hadn't brought up Tiffany at the beach, but maybe he did still have a thing for her. I didn't care either way. I've never liked a guy who liked me back. Her expression softened.
Don't worry, it'll happen. Especially when you get tits. She giggled.
Sorry, don't use that word. It's gross. My friends always say it, but that doesn't mean you should. Tiffany didn't get motherly often, but when she did, it was nice. Like she was looking out for me. Okay, I won't. And thanks for saying the pie wasn't soggy earlier.
It wasn't. I ate the whole piece, and you know how I am about calories.
I smiled. Giving me her calories was a compliment. I had the sudden urge to hug my sister. It had been a weird night. Some bad things had happened, like the fighting and the possible kiss, but it could never truly be bad because time spent with Manning was time getting to know him. It was true even when we didn't speak. And now that Tiffany was losing interest, I'd have him back, at least until school started. After that, I wasn't sure. I was about to embrace Tiffany when a loud, sudden knock on the door made us both jump.
"Tiffany?"
Dad asked. As when anyone came into her room, Tiffany snapped at him, as if it was her programmed response.
"What?"
she asked. He came in, saw me, and pointed to the bathroom door.
"Go to your room, Lake."
He was angry. Again. Normally I wouldn't question him, but Tiffany had taken some of the heat tonight that should have been aimed at me, and I was feeling defensive of her.
"Why?"
I asked. "So you can be mean to her some more?" My dad looked shocked. My first instinct was to apologize, but I didn't. I stayed where I was, my shoulders square.
"It's okay, Lake," Tiffany said. "Just go."
I looked between the two of them. Clearly they didn't think this involved me, but it did. It was about Manning. So I went into the bathroom and pressed my ear to the door.
"What was that tonight?"
Dad asked. Tiffany didn't answer for a few seconds.
"What do you mean?" "You brought a stranger into my home. Someone who could be dangerous. You made your mother and sister go through the charade of making dinner and buying expensive wine. Why? What are you trying to prove?"
"Nothing.
He's a low-life, smug construction worker who jumps from job to job. Once he's done with that house, he doesn't have to show up for work the next day. What's to stop him from rounding up his friends to rob us in the middle of the night and leave town?"
I gritted my teeth so hard my jaw ached. That was completely unfair. Manning had been nothing but respectful tonight. He'd even made an effort to look nice.
"He wouldn't do that, which you'd know if you'd given him a chance," Tiffany said. "But you didn't. You were so rude to him."
"Oh, please. You don't know anything about that guy. You just want to fool around. When are you going to grow up? Do your friends get away with this kind of behavior?"
"You're overreacting."
"I don't want you seeing him again."
"You can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult."
"Then start acting like one. Get a job, or don't. But if you want to keep living under this roof, you'll do as I say."
"Maybe I don't want to live here anymore."
"No. And where are you going to go with no money? If what you want is to screw around all day and shop and party, then find a husband who can afford to take care of you. I guarantee you won't find him on a construction site."
"You don't even care what I want," she said, her voice rising. "You just want me to roll over and do everything you say without questioning it. Like Lake."
"You're nothing like Lake," he snapped.
They went silent. My heart raced, as if I were there, standing in the room, only it was worse because I couldn't see anything. It was true. I did do everything my dad asked, and Tiffany did nothing he asked. I wished, for once, she would just try with him instead of deliberately pushing his buttons, getting him to say things to hurt her. Dad spoke first.
"I'm sorry. I didn't mean..."
"I know what you meant,"
Tiffany said. I'm not Lake, and I never will be. If you don't like the choices I make, then kick me out. I'm not going to stop dating someone just because you tell me to.
I will, Tiffany. Don't test me.
You'd put your own daughter on the street?
If I did, it'd be for your own goddamn good. You need to learn.
Fine! She screamed so loud, I actually pulled away from the door. I'll be gone in the morning. After a few silent seconds, Dad's footsteps pounded the floor and a door slammed shut. My breath caught in my throat. Maybe Tiffany and I had our differences, but oh my God, I didn't want her to be homeless. I had no idea where she'd even go. Tiffany and I had grown up in this house, a bathroom apart. I stood there so long, listening to the silence, not breathing, I started to see stars. I let myself into her room. Tiff? She was still sitting where she was when I'd left, staring at her door.
What?
Are you okay? She blinked a few times and turned to me. Are you? You look like you've seen a ghost. My hands shook. Tiffany tried so hard to be tough, but I knew she wasn't. Maybe I was the only one who knew that, besides my mom. I couldn't imagine how it'd feel to be on the receiving end of those things Dad said to her. I crossed the room and she opened her arms right as I launched myself into them. I was the one who started to cry.
Stop,
Tiffany said. She laid us back on the bed, petting my hair. They're not worth crying over.
Who?
Men.
Even Dad?
Especially Dad. I drew my eyebrows together. I wasn't sure what she meant by that. I'd heard her crying enough times after their fights.
Are you leaving?
I asked. I don't want you to go. Please just go apologize to him.
I'm not leaving.
But you said, I've said it before. I wasn't serious, and he knows that. He's not going to kick me out. I couldn't remember any of their arguments ending that way. It was as if Tiffany wanted to see how far she could push him. I looked up at her.
Why didn't you just tell him you'd stop seeing Manning?
Because that's exactly what he wants. He's trying to control me and you and Mom.
That's not true, I said.
He just wants what's best for all of us.
For you and Mom, maybe.
Me? He just wants to pretend I never happened. His life would be easier if I weren't around. She said the words so simply, someone else might have thought they didn't affect her, that she didn't care. I knew she did, though. How could she not? He was her dad. Even after all the fights I'd witnessed, I couldn't believe she truly thought that.
He loves you, I said.
Things are just weird right now. When you find a job, he'll ease up.
You don't know anything, Lake. You're too young to understand. I'll never get the kind of job he wants me to.
You will. I'm not going to be a doctor or a lawyer or any of those boring things. He can't stand that he's worked as hard as he has to give us opportunities just to have me waste mine.
Tiffany didn't even try. She'd barely studied, and she'd skipped a lot of classes, especially her senior year. I didn't know if I was smarter than my sister, but I definitely tried harder.
You could do whatever you want, Tiffany, if you apply yourself.
Shut up, she said without inflection.
You sound like Dad. He says that all the time.
But that fight could have been avoided, I pointed out.
You said you don't even like Manning.
Tiffany blinked up at the ceiling, tilting her head. Her hair tickled my neck, but I just watched her. Her eyes roamed until she finally said,
I thought I didn't, but maybe I do.
My heart dropped. She couldn't just change her mind back and forth like that.
Why?
I asked.
Just because it makes Dad mad?
I don't know. Maybe.
It just made me rethink the whole thing. Like maybe I didn't give Manning a real chance.
That doesn't seem fair. Using Manning to get back at Dad. Tiffany tore her eyes from the ceiling to look at me. She pushed me off and we both sat up. I thought she'd kick me out, but instead she looked right at me.
I guarantee Manning has done worse than that to a girl. Men don't care about women. They use them. The sooner you understand that, the better.
My stomach churned. Not Manning. He wasn't that way. When I looked at him, spoke to him, we connected. He'd given me Birdie when I was sad. He'd returned my bracelet. He'd eat anything I made. In my gut, I knew he was a good person.
I think it's the other way around, I said gently. I've seen guys go crazy for you, and you just ignore them. Tiffany smiled a little. That's how you play the game. The truth is, men think they have power, but they don't. We do. Like tonight with Manning. When he wouldn't do what I wanted, I told him not to call me again and walked away. And you know what he did? My heart thumped. I knew. I tried to pretend I didn't, but I did. I'd seen it with my own eyes. He kissed me. He puts on a good show. For a while there, I didn't think he liked me at all, but he's just like every other guy. I knew in my heart that wasn't true, and maybe it made me a bad sister, but I didn't tell her so. I wanted Tiffany to believe Manning was just another guy, because then she'd treat him like one. She'd get what she wanted from him and move on. Chapter 12. Lake. Monday afternoon, I was alone in the house for the first time since Manning had come over for dinner. I didn't have to look out the window to know the crew was working next door. I could hear them. I went into Tiffany's room to borrow a pair of shorts. I wasn't brave enough to take her skimpiest pair, but everything she owned was shorter, tighter, or lower cut than anything in my closet. I picked some from Tommy Hilfiger and held them up to my waist in the mirror. Tiffany'd been right the other night about Dad. The morning after their fight, Mom had made bagels and coffee, Dad read his Wall Street Journal, and Tiffany had waltzed into the kitchen like nothing had happened. She'd even mentioned going out to look for jobs that day, and he'd kissed her on the forehead on his way to work. I put on the shorts. In a tank top and Converse, I grabbed my young Cubs flyer before heading out the door. The first time I'd met Manning, I didn't remember being nervous. Now, though, as I walked to the curb, I had butterflies in my stomach and sweat on my hairline. There was lots going on, but I couldn't see Manning. I walked through the dirt, passing under scaffolding into the house. A man in goggles glanced at me as I ducked into the frame of the house, but he didn't stop me. I found Manning toward the back, his profile to me, arms raised, a drill in his hands and a screw between his teeth. Goggles, a hard hat, and a red bandana around his mouth hid his face, but I would have known him anywhere. He drilled into a wooden beam. His navy shirt rode up, tan skin slivering over his waistband, bicep muscles bulging from the effort. I covered my stomach, unaccustomed to the violent way it flipped. Manning lowered the drill to inspect his work. "Hi." He jerked his head to me and ripped the bandana off his face.
"What are you doing in here?"
Shit. He looked not only unhappy to see me, but kind of pissed. Maybe I shouldn't have barged in like this. I mean, I could have just waited for him at the wall until his break.
Don't ever walk onto a construction site without the proper protection.
He tossed the drill onto a work table, his boots pounding the concrete as he came to me.
"It's dangerous."
I'm sorry. I hadn't really thought about it.
"Why do you think we're wearing all this?"
He punctuated his question by removing his hard hat and dropping it on my head. It was hot, sweaty, and heavy, and it was Manning's. With a large hand on my shoulder, he pushed me out of the house, walking with me. His warm, rough palm on my bare skin gave me that tightening feeling again, only it started lower this time, not in my stomach like before.
"Watch your step," he grumbled his words. "There are nails, and just watch where you're going."
I inhaled men's sweat and sawdust. Outside in the dirt again, he pulled the hat off my head and tossed it on the ground. I looked up at him as he removed his goggles. His black hair stuck up everywhere. Despite the heat, he wore a dark, long-sleeved T-shirt with the construction company's logo printed across the pocket. A cigarette butt peeked out the top, and dust dirtied his collar.
"Is it time for your break?" I asked.
"I already took it," he said, but led me over to the wall.
"How was your weekend?" I asked.
He leaned back against the brick and took out his pack.
"You're not supposed to be over here."
It definitely wasn't the greeting I'd been hoping for. "I didn't know how else to get in contact with you." He wiped his face with his shirt, flashing his flat, hard stomach. A tool belt weighed down his pants, and my heart nearly stopped. The dark hair I'd noticed before was actually a trail leading down to his waistband, where there was more of it. He dropped his shirt, but there was still dirt on his face.
"Your sister, maybe."
I swallowed. dumbstruck. What?
She could have called me if you'd needed something.
But you're my friend, I wanted to say. You're mad I came? He looked into his pack of cigarettes a while, and then set them on the wall.
Was everything all right at home? He asked, after I left.
It's fine. Sure, Dad had threatened to kick Tiffany out, but he didn't do it. I didn't want Manning to feel worse than he probably already did because of that night. I brought you something. He looked over at me.
What is it?
I pulled the flyer out of my back pocket, unfolded it, and gave it to him. He used his sleeve to dry his temples.
Young Cubs Sleepaway Camp, he read.
It has all the info for being a counselor, I told him. He scanned the page.
Except what it pays.
$11 an hour.
11?
He sounded surprised.
That's high.
The days are 8 hours long, even though you're kind of working the whole time, even at night.
But you get to do stuff outdoors, right?
All the stuff I said, like canoeing and fishing and more. There's also campfires. You even sleep in the cabins with the kids. I was rambling, but I couldn't stop. The cutoff to apply was last week, but she said you should try anyway because she thinks they're understaffed.
She?
The receptionist at the Y, I explained. He peered at the flyer more closely.
YMCA puts it on. My sister and I used to go to our local Y after school.
By the way his stance and expression eased, I guessed that was a good thing. The problem was that camp started soon. I didn't know much about construction, but our new neighbor's house didn't look quite finished. The next 2 weeks we have training and meetings for the counselors. Then we leave. It doesn't look like you'll be done in time. He folded up the flyer.
Can I keep this?
I nodded. The first meeting's tomorrow night at 6:30. He picked up his pack and slid out a cigarette. You probably can't smoke there, I said. At least not where anyone can see.
I'll manage.
So you'll come? He studied me a moment.
You want me to?
I squinted at the house. A flock of birds formed a V above us. Did a cloud want to float aimlessly? Did a sky want to be blue? I didn't know. I couldn't control my want for him. It just was. Yes, I said.
How come?
I feel safe when you're around. His eyebrows lowered.
Is it dangerous up there?
No, not at all, I said quickly. I mean, there might be bears. The wrinkles between his eyes vanished.
You think I can protect you from bears?
I couldn't tell if he was teasing me or not. If anyone could take on a bear, it'd be him. No? Maybe? He laughed, a rare sound that made me relax. Why is that funny? I asked. You're as big as a bear.
Maybe to you, Birdie.
I couldn't contain my smile, even if I wanted to. The meeting's at 6:30.
You said that already.
We could meet there 10 minutes early, and I'll introduce you to the director. Or I was going to have my mom take me, but I could go with you instead. He leaned back against the wall and crossed his arms.
What do you think, Lake? That I can just pick you up in my truck and take you somewhere?
Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I had never wanted anything more. Why not? He shook his head, looking away.
Have you talked to Tiffany about this?
Like a wet blanket, the mention of her name dimmed my mood. I stuck my hands in the back pockets of my jean shorts. Can I ask you something?
Probably shouldn't.
Do you like her? He paused.
That's something I should discuss with her, don't you think?
My throat felt dry. I didn't care. I wanted to know. She discussed it with me. He studied me.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not going to tell you what she said.
I didn't ask you to, he said. I'll talk to her about it.
I sighed up at the sky. Nobody ever told me anything. But it's not fair. You and I were friends first.
Friends? He repeated. Do you think that's appropriate?
I frowned. I thought we were.
Your sister and I are friends. You and I, yeah, we are too. But you have to think about how that looks. When you introduce me to the director of the camp, maybe say I'm your sister's friend, you know?
No, I don't know, I lied, just to hear what he'd say. How does it look for us to be friends? Manning exhaled deeply.
I'm older and wiser. Just trust me.
Of course I understood why we had to keep our friendship to ourselves. It wasn't anything to be ashamed of, but not everybody would understand it. That meant that, to other people, there was only one thing linking us. Tiffany. Are you going to ask Tiffany to go to camp? He paused.
Yes.
But why? I asked. She thinks camp is for losers.
Because it would be good for her. Think about it. She's not working right now. Maybe a little aimless.
A little? I asked.
Maybe she'll end up liking it.
I looked over my shoulder at the house, surprised nobody at home had thought of it. It was a good way for Tiffany to make some extra cash and get some space from Dad. But that meant I'd be giving up a week alone with Manning. I turned back to him. Is that really the reason you want her there? Or is it because it looks bad for you and me to be friends? Manning took out a cigarette.
I have to go back to work. I'll see you tomorrow.
Fine. Frustrated, I walked back along the curb toward my house. I'd have to trust him. He'd been good to me so far. He'd won me a pelican. He made eye contact with me. He didn't talk over me like a lot of people did. Whatever his reason was for wanting Tiffany there, I'm sure he was looking out for all of us. When I reached the front door, I turned and looked back. Manning still leaned against the wall, arms crossed, a lit cigarette hanging between his lips. Tiffany parked her car with a sigh and stared out the windshield at the YMCA. You don't have to do this, I reminded her. Manning asked me to.
So you like him again?
She looked over at me. I never stopped. After dinner last week, you acted like you weren't sure about him. And yesterday I hated overalls, but this afternoon I went to the mall and bought two pairs because I saw them on Heather Locklear. It's not a crime to change my mind. Thankfully for her, Tiffany changed her mind about a lot of things, like outfits and friends. She'd do the same with Manning, too. I got out of the car and looked around the parking lot, half expecting Manning not to show. But there he was, leaning against the side of his truck, smoking. I waved, but it was dusk, and I couldn't tell if he'd seen us, so I started over toward him. When I was close, he put his cigarette out on the ground.
You're late, he said.
He didn't talk much, but when he did, my heart dropped into my stomach. All the time when we were apart, I thought about his deep, rumbling voice and wondered when I'd hear it again. I told you 6:20, I said. It's 6:19.
Your clock's slow.
No, it's not, I said. Actually, I didn't know who set the clocks in my house, but I'd always been on time for school.
Is it?
I asked.
Are we really late?
He lifted one corner of his mouth. When he smiled, I smiled. Are you teasing me? I asked. His expression changed when he looked behind me.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hi. She brushed by me and opened her arms.
What?
He asked. I'm trying to hug you. He raised an eyebrow.
Do I look like a 10-year-old girl?
Please? With a sigh, he opened one arm. Tiffany snuggled into his side, wrapping herself around his torso. My stomach soured like I'd eaten rotten seafood. I missed you, Tiffany said. I turned away. If they were hugging, he might kiss her again, and I was certain I'd puke if he did. We should go in, I said, walking off. There was no time to introduce Manning to the director before the meeting. Gary was already standing at the front of the small, crowded room, trying to get everyone to settle down. There was a podium in the center, but Gary never used it. I'd know him anywhere just by his thick, black, curly hair that would have been down past his ears if it didn't grow straight out. A beach bum his whole life, he had a perpetual tan and bloodshot eyes, and he was the only person I knew who'd rather have a conversation with kids than adults. There was only one pair of seats left, and the rest were singles. Fine. Let Tiffany and Manning sit together. I took a seat near the front so I wouldn't have to see them hug.
Welcome to the first Young Cubs counselor meeting, Gary said.
He must have been at least 30. He'd been running the program since I'd attended as a camper.
I'm happy to see familiar faces and some new ones.
Throughout the meeting, I refrained from looking back at Manning. He probably thought all this was childish, bored out of his mind. Being a counselor was fun, though. Last year I'd been in charge of one of the younger cabins, and the girls had been endless in their love and affection. They'd thought the world revolved around my co-counselor and me. There was no feeling quite like a group of little girls all arguing over who got to be the one to hold your hand. The meeting lasted a half hour, and after, I found Manning and Tiffany seated at the back of the room. "What did you think?" I asked them. "Outdoors? For up to 8 hours a day?" Tiffany asked. "Sounds awful. And dirty." I shrugged. "Don't bring nice things and you'll be fine. Manning?" He gave nothing away.
"Let's find out if they have any openings first."
As if on cue, Gary wandered down the aisle between the seats, a big smile crinkling the corners of his eyes.
"Well, well, Lake Kaplan. We're lucky to have you for another year."
"Thanks. This is my sister and her friend." Manning didn't even look at me as he stood. I'd done what he'd asked by introducing him as Tiffany's friend, and that was my reward. Nothing. At least if I'd called him my friend, I would have gotten a warning glance. They shook hands.
"Gary, right?"
Manning asked.
"Manning Sutter." "Nice to meet you, Manning. You don't look like you're in high school."
"He's not," I said. "I was wondering if there were any PEG counselor positions open for him."
"It's a little late for that. We've already done all the hiring."
He twisted his lips. Gary was the kind of guy who liked to find solutions for everything. If he could help, he would.
"We did discuss bringing on one more counselor due to a rise in campers this year."
"I'm interested," Manning said.
"I work construction, and we'll have a break for a few weeks during that time." "Construction? Think you could help out with some projects around the campgrounds?"
"Absolutely," Manning said.
"Great. Let me talk it over with the board and see if I can swing the budget. As for you,"
he looked down at Tiffany.
"I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name."
"I'm Lake's sister," she paused. "Tiffany."
"Hi, Tiffany. I'm almost certain I wouldn't be able to convince them of a second position. We've got plenty of female hires. I'm sorry."
Tiffany opened her mouth. I'd seen that look on her face before. Dad had taken her car away for a week her senior year because she'd snuck out in the middle of the night to go to a party. She'd gotten it back 2 days later.
"But I really want to go," she said, glancing at Manning. "And you just said you might need more help."
"We will," Gary smiled. "We'd love to have you as a volunteer."
Tiffany laughed nervously.
"You mean for free?"
"For fun," Gary said, grinning some more.
He turned back to Manning.
"We'll need some information from you guys. Background checks and things like that, since you'll be around a bunch of kids."
"No problem," Manning said.
"Good. Let me get your number, and if I can work it out, I'll give you a call."
Manning followed Gary to the front of the room, and I sat next to Tiffany.
"This is so dumb," she said, pouting. "I don't even want to go."
"You said you did."
"If Manning's going, I want to, obviously. A whole week away from Mom and Dad with him would be massive."
My entire plan dissolved before my eyes. "That's not really what camp is about," I told her. "Most of the time you'll be so busy with kids, you won't have time for anything else. And like you said, it's dirty."
"They have showers, right?"
Yeah. There are kids there. Personal hygiene is important."
"Well, I guess I don't really have any big plans that week."
She flipped her hair over her shoulder and looked around the room.
"I think I recognize some of these people."
"Almost all of them go to our high school," I said. "Some of them were in your class."
"Oh, what about hair dryers?"
"No."
"Makeup?"
"You'll just want to wear a lot of sunscreen."
"I didn't even think about that," she said. "I bet I'll get a killer tan being outside 8 hours a day."
She grabbed my hand.
"Come on, let's go tell that guy I'll do it."
I didn't have time to agree or protest. She pulled me up to the front. The year before, I'd asked Tiffany to come. She was fun, and I thought it might be good for her to be around kids. But now, all I could see was what I'd be missing. I wanted Tiffany to be happy, to find some direction. I just wished I could have Manning to myself again, like I had when we'd first met. Chapter 13. Lake.
I hoisted my overnight bag out of the trunk. With only 2 weeks left of summer, Dad insisted I bring 4 books along for the week I'd be at camp, but he wasn't the one who had to carry them. Tiffany had no books, and somehow more luggage than me, even though I tried to explain there'd be no occasion for a purse, let alone 3. Tiffany yanked her rolling suitcase from the car until it fell onto the street. "It's too early to be lifting heavy things." "We'll be up almost this early every day of camp," I said. "Are you serious? It's practically dark." "It'll be good for you girls," Mom said. "I'm so glad you're doing this together. Who knows, maybe Tiffany will find that she..." She stopped and craned her neck, looking across the parking lot. "Is that Manning?" "No," Tiffany said, but she couldn't hide her smile. I followed Mom's gaze and took in a small breath. Manning stood next to a black truck, a big army green duffel bag slung over one shoulder, the sleeves of his heather gray hoodie pushed up to his elbows. Gary got out of the driver's seat. Together, they walked over to the curb where kids and adults were congregating. "You told your father he wouldn't be here." Tiffany shrugged. "Manning must have changed his mind." "Damn it, Tiffany. What am I supposed to do? Keep this from him?" "It's not a big deal, but he'll make it into one." They argued, and Manning looked over. I finally exhaled as our eyes met. He said something to Gary, dropped his things on the ground, and walked toward us. Even the gray clouds cast overhead couldn't soften the angles of his face or the purpose in his gait.
"That looks about twice your weight," Manning said, reaching for my bag.
I readjusted it on my shoulder. "I've got it. Tiffany's the one who needs help."
"You're leaning so far to the right, I'm afraid you'll fall over."
He gestured impatiently, so I transferred the bag over to him, and he put it under his arm. "Don't you trust me?" Tiffany asked Mom. "When have you ever given us reason to?" Mom replied.
"Excuse me," Manning said.
They turned to him. "I'm sorry, Manning," Mom said. "This might sound like it's about you, but it's really about..."
"It's fine, Mrs. Kaplan. I just wanted to say that I take this position seriously. There are kids around. I'll be on my best behavior. Also, we need all the counselors so we can start checking campers in."
"I appreciate that." Mom ran a hand over her hairline, smoothing some stray pieces back in place. "Tiffany'll be over in a moment. I just need to make a few things clear." Manning signaled toward the grass with his head. I followed him over, staying quiet so he wouldn't hear the giddiness in my voice. Not only had he not taken Tiffany's bag, but he was going to be on his best behavior. No hugging, no kissing, no time alone with Tiffany. I trusted him to keep his word, unlike Tiffany. Mom would make things clear, but her lectures were harmless. Tiffany knew, had known coming here, that Mom would never rat her out to Dad. When the buses pulled up, Manning raised his eyebrows.
"They don't spare any expense, do they?"
They wheezed as they rocked up over the inclined driveway into the parking lot. They were luxury liners, the kinds of buses that were always too hot or too cold, with fabric seats that made you wonder who'd sat in them before you. "What do you mean?"
"I thought we'd be going on a school bus or something."
"This is Orange County. Even camping can be made glamorous."
"Okay, then."
He looked down at me.
"You're not afraid of getting dirty, are you?"
"No way. I'll be in the mud with the kids."
"That's my girl."
I almost shivered with satisfaction. Manning's girl. I hoped someday I would be. In his presence, my body loosened. I'd been anxious about this trip. I'd seen Manning 4 times in 2 weeks during the counselor's training sessions, but between Tiffany, Gary, and everyone else, we hadn't had more than a couple minutes alone. Did he notice? Did he care? He never gave any sign that he did, but I'd caught him staring at me during a meeting once. I'd tried to convince myself the longing in his face was my imagination, or that he was looking at Tiffany, who'd been next to me, but I didn't really believe that. Some invisible tether existed between us. Nobody could see it, not even us, but I felt it. I was sure Manning did, too. As long as we both knew it, that was enough for me. For now, at least. Manning got a clipboard from Gary and flipped through the pages.
"You're paired with Hannah Burke," he told me. "Do you know her?"
She's new this year, but we talked a little at the meetings. I pointed to a short brunette in a polo shirt and knee-length shorts. Hannah's brown hair brushed as far down as her elbows as she gathered our girls and fielded questions from their parents. I better get to work.
I'll come with you, Manning said, tucking the clipboard under his arm and falling into step beside me.
Why?
Make sure it's a good match.
She seems pretty nice, I said, unsure what he was looking for. He didn't respond. Hannah had one hand on a girl's head as she spoke to a parent. She glanced over as we approached and smiled.
There's Lake now. She'll be my co-counselor for the week.
I recognized some girls who'd attended last year. They squealed, some jumping up and down and some running over to hug me. I had hoped to get this age group. Everyone knew the 9-year-old girls' cabin was easiest. They were old enough to know better and young enough that they still listened. Around age 10, one or two girls' priorities began to change. They'd talk back or sneak around, which the others in the cabin picked up on quickly. At 16, it wasn't as if I could really be in charge of 12-year-olds like Tiffany could. Katie, one of my girls from the year before, ran and hugged me, catapulting me backward into Manning. He caught me by my upper arms.
Whoa there!
The warmth of his hands hit me first, then the firmness of his grip, his large body at my back. He was solid, his hold on me protective while I caught my footing, and then for a couple seconds after. I could run at him full force, and I doubt he'd stumble when we collided. As Hannah pulled Katie away, I caught her wide-eyed glance at Manning. I thought I noticed her blush before she turned around.
I have to get back, he said, releasing me. Will you be all right with Hannah?
I looked up over my shoulder at him. I'm pretty sure. Why?
I just want to make sure you're okay. She seems nice, though.
She was around Tiffany's age, but I'd found her easy to talk to so far.
She is. Okay, then. Just know you can come to me with anything you need, all right? Gary and I are cool.
You like him? Manning nodded.
I like him.
Coming from Manning, that meant a lot. He didn't seem easy to please in the people department, but I'd introduced him to a new friend.
So you'll come to me?
He asked, tapping the clipboard against his palm.
If something's not right.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. But we'll be away from home, from your parents. So you can come to me. Everyone should have someone looking out for them, and I am, for you.
Who do you have? I asked. He swallowed audibly, his long neck rippling.
I said everyone should. Not everyone does.
I'll be that someone, Manning, I said. He put his large hand on my head, making me feel about half his size.
You're going to protect me?
I always wanted him to be safe. Cared for, fed, happy. Maybe it was naive, but I felt I could do that for him, even if it had to be from afar for a while. Maybe not physically. Protection comes in different forms.
That means a lot to me, he said. I'd rather you worry about yourself, though, and I'll worry about you, too.
He took his hand back, and some of my hair went with it, falling over my face. He started to fix it, but stopped himself.
Don't worry about your stuff. I'll get it on the bus.
I watched him return to Gary's side. He had no reason to worry about me, to keep me safe or happy. I didn't owe him that either, but I'd do my best to give it to him. Hannah and I sat together on the way to Big Bear. I tried to listen to the conversation happening between Manning and Tiffany across the aisle, but Tiffany, turned inward toward Manning, did most of the talking, and anyway, Hannah had other ideas.
Should we talk about how we're going to do this? Hannah asked.
It's kind of hard to plan for. I leaned a little more into the aisle. Tiffany was listing her favorite music videos while Manning stared straight ahead.
Once we get there, I said, it'll fall into place. But it's my first year, Hannah said. I don't want to screw it up.
She'd soon discover the resilience of kids and counselors. You'll do fine.
I graduated with your sister, you know, she said. She doesn't know me.
I looked over at her. She's self-involved. Hannah laughed.
She can probably hear you.
Probably, but she won't. We exchanged a mischievous smile.
Is that her boyfriend? Hannah asked. He's so fine. No. I sounded defensive, so I added, I'm not really sure. Maybe for the moment. Tiffany stood and looked around the bus before her eyes lasered in on something behind us. There are two kids with seats to themselves. Shouldn't counselors get that? I don't think they planned it that way, I said. I'm exhausted. I need to sleep before we get there. She went down the aisle to a boy with headphones on. Hey, she pointed to the other lone camper. Go sit with that kid so I can have this seat. The boy, 11 or so, didn't argue. He would have argued with me, but Tiffany had boobs and some kind of power over the male species. Apparently no age group was immune. Wake me when we get there, she said to Manning, who remained facing forward through the whole thing. Manning, did you hear me?
I heard you. He winked at Hannah and me. I'll do my best, but no promises.
We giggled. Tiffany must have gone to sleep because she didn't speak again.
So about our cabin, Hannah said. I think we should be firm with them. Yes, we're here to have fun, but we're authority figures first, friends second.
I watched Manning as he looked out the window. Most riders who weren't talking to their seatmates had headphones on or played handheld video games. Sure, I murmured.
I brought some stuff I think the girls will love, like makeup and CDs.
I expected a week of rough-and-tumble sports and exploring, but I knew they'd love girl time as well. We can sneak a boombox from the rec room, I said.
And the campfire skits, Hannah said. We have to come up with some ideas. Should we do that now?
Better to brainstorm with the girls, I said absent-mindedly, and stood. I had no idea what I wanted to do or say. With a sideways glance at Hannah, I said, I'll be right back. I crossed the aisle to Manning. It took him a moment to turn and look at me, but when he did, he gestured for me to sit.
Hey, Bertie.
Bertie. I wished I hadn't been so self-conscious about bringing a stuffed animal to camp, because I already missed it. It made me feel close to him when we were apart. I turned my shoulder into the seat back, angling away from Hannah and the rest of the bus.
Hi. What can I do for you?
He asked lightly.
Nothing.
I tucked some hair behind my ear. He smelled faintly of cigarette smoke mixed with aftershave. The bus driver turned the music up a little for Aerosmith's Crazy.
What do you think so far? I asked.
Lots of things.
Good things?
Good things.
He glanced at my knees and then away.
Are you cold? You have goosebumps.
I did, but not because the air conditioning was too high. They were from being close to him, from having a secret nickname, from Steven Tyler's Come Here, Baby. I shook my head.
I'm fine.
He looked back out the window. Our beloved beach had been replaced with desertscape and run-down towns. Soon it'd be mountains, pine trees, curvy roads.
Do you want to be alone? I asked.
He didn't respond right away. He had a hard profile, darkened against the bright window, always brooding, with his pitch-black hair and heavy eyebrows. Would he tell me what he was thinking about if I got up the courage to ask? I didn't think so. I'd never met anyone so private, and it only fueled my curiosity. If he wanted me to go, I figured he was too polite to say so. I went to get up, but he said no. He had a funny way of acting like he wanted me around, since he didn't look at or speak to me. But I hadn't been alone with him in weeks, and I had questions, about nothing and everything. I chose a safe topic.
Are you finished at the house?
He turned to me.
Not yet. We're waiting for some permits to come through.
Then what?
We'll be there another couple weeks or so.
Hearing he'd be around a little longer wasn't much of a relief because summer would be over in 2 weeks anyway, and I had no idea what would happen next.
Then what? I pressed.
I graduate in December, and I start training to be a police officer.
Where?
Wherever there's a place for me.
My face flushed, my blood suddenly rushing. The idea of him leaving made my heart thump painfully hard. I was stuck in every sense of the word. I had 2 years left of high school. After that, I'd be in Los Angeles for at least 4 years for college. What if he didn't want to go back to L.A.? I couldn't even get in a car and drive anywhere until I got my license. Manning could leave at any moment without even telling me. No warning, no way for me to follow him. I gripped the edge of his seat cushion in a fist, as if that'd keep him here. You'd move?